News Radio WJPF, the Illinois Treasurer, Michael Frerichs, on the other end of the line. Michael, how are you, man?
Tom, I'm wonderful this morning. How about yourself?
Good. So you were down in Southern Illinois earlier this week. Anything fun?
I was. We're giving away money. talking about a new program we have in the Treasurer's Office under Unclaimed Property Division called Money Match.
All right.
Simply mailing people checks.
All right. You say giving away, giving their money back to them.
Yeah, this money doesn't belong to the state. It doesn't belong to the corporation that was holding on to it. My job is to fight to get it back into the hands of people in the state. Because I know, Tom, when we write a check to your listeners and they spend it at a local restaurant or a local business, that money circulating throughout the community does a lot more good for the economy than it does sitting in a bank account in Springfield.
How much? How much money? Because I heard a figure and it was huge.
Statewide, $12 million we're returning. People don't have to lift a finger. All they have to do is check their mailbox and cash a check if it comes.
Well,
it's about 63,000 checks we're mailing out.
And I think that's a good time to jump in because I'm one of those people. At least I was anyway. The treasurer had money that had that was due to me from a company, and about $700. And you know, and I'd gotten the letter, and then I went onto the website, and I'd gotten frustrated. And I was like, I'm just going to call Frerichs, right? And I realized that I'd actually crossed the threshold of proving who I was. The next day when your business office is open, I received an email going, because I thought I was, you know, locked up in this particular section in frustration, even with that amount of money. I just said, fine, right? And I realized I had actually accomplished what I needed to prove who I was. I received an email from your office on Monday, and I had the check within, less than a week. But that's really the crux right here, is if we do owe you money, we want it to go to you, not somebody who's pretending to be you.
Especially when you have a common name like Tom Miller.
Right.
You know, good and well, there are other Tom Millers out there, some of which give you a good name, and some of which put you in a bad light.
Yes, they have.
We need to make sure we know which Tom Miller we're sending to, because people don't like some of the hassles in their way to claim their money, but what they really hate is when we send their money to someone else.
All right.
And there are identity thieves out there.
And so you've got a great way of cross-checking that gives you a pretty substantial way to go because, well, they're already paying their taxes.
Exactly. So I can't tell you the number of people who would say to me, hey, Treasurer, you've got my money. And I said, great, we'd love to give it to you. And they would tell me, it's too much of a hassle. Go ahead and keep it. Well, I don't want to keep it. Not my job to keep it. I want to get back in people's hands. So we thought, how can we get people their money? We have to know where they live. We have to know their Social Security number, so we're not sending the wrong Tom Miller. But how could the state have this information if they don't share it with us? Well, they already share it with us every year when they pay their taxes. They swear where they live. They swear to their Social Security number. And we run a match of our unclaimed property database versus the Department of Revenue's database. And we see a match, someone, a Tom Miller with the same Social Security number at the same address, will just mail you a check now. It really can't be easier.
What do you do to start that process? Do you do anything at all, or you just wait?
Well, if you were a person receiving it, you just wait, but it was a lot of work on our side. We had this great idea, but, Tom, you might be surprised about this. State law wouldn't allow the Treasurer's Office to communicate with the Department of Revenue, share information.
Mike, at face value, when you say that out loud, that the treasurer cannot communicate with the Department of Revenue, when you say that out loud, there's a level of ludicrous, right, apprehension about what? I mean, that seems to be a low-hanging fruit of accomplishment here, right? Why aren't we doing this?
We find these things when we come in office, things that should be common sense, like life insurance companies should be paying out benefits when someone dies. We find out it's not so common sense. The Treasury should be able to share information with the Department of Revenue. That seems to be common sense, but sometimes you got to pass legislation. We did that last year. The governor finally signed it. It went into effect January 1st. We waited for this tax cycle, and we wanted to make sure we scrubbed this data, that we found the proper addresses, and we're now mailing out letters. Now, we're mailing out a letter first before the check for two reasons. One, we want to make sure someone hasn't moved from the time they paid the taxes to today. If a letter is returned as undeliverable, we won't mail a check to that address. But two, we've done such a good job, Tom, of convincing people that there are identity thieves out there trying to take their personal information that a lot of people are skeptical. They don't believe the state of Illinois would actually send them a check, and we're afraid some people might throw them away.
Right.
So we're sending a letter telling them within 3 weeks you should be getting a letter in the mail from the state of Illinois. It'll be a check inside. Cash it. If anyone out there asks for personal information, if anyone out there asks for something different or tries to charge you, that is not us. We never charge to return your money to you.
All right, and I think that's pretty smart, Michael, and the reason why there's been several companies who have sent me checks, and that if I cash that check and put it in my bank account, I just accepted a loan at a ludicrous loan rate. And this is one of the things that people do. So I think under the circumstances, because I would think that there's probably more than one person, it's just my personal experience, or one other company that's out that does something similar to this, and we are inherently skeptical now, and rightfully so. So I think you
rightfully
do have to
so.
Take all the procedures. And then, of course, you've got the other portion of the program where you can go on the site and look up. You look yourself up. And
yeah, we're going to return $12 million, but there's still $2 billion out there we'd like to return, and we need people to do a little extra effort there to see if we have something that belongs to them.
Yeah. All right.
So they can go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov, click on iCash, do a search for themselves. They should search for their family. If they own a business, we have money for businesses and nonprofits and churches. So check for a lot of organizations in your life. We'd love to return this money. It does a lot more good in the hands, pockets, wallets of Southern Illinois citizens than it does in a Springfield bank account.
Mike, I also had ulterior motives for inviting you on, so I'm hoping you'll tolerate me today.
I've tolerated you in the past. Looking forward to it again, Tom.
Good. All right. You have this debate and I was talking with our listeners earlier this week about, you know, you've got this debate. And there you are on stage. You're the Democrat. You've got the Republican. Then you've got the Libertarian candidate there. And it was civil. And I mean that in the most, and there's no hidden sarcasm or backhand message. It was a civil debate, and when you especially compare it to the gubernatorial debate, you start seeing the contrast. If you take and compare it to what happened yesterday in the Supreme Court hearings for the Judiciary Committee, that there was a level of civility there that you don't find in other locations. I'm trying to figure out, what do you think I should attribute that to?
So I think one of the things you could say is the Treasurer's Office isn't as contentious as a Supreme Court nomination or a gubernatorial race, but it also is a choice based on the candidates. I mean, the three candidates chose to say nice things about each other. That doesn't happen at every debate. You know, I think the three candidates all have ideas with things they want to do to improve the office, or in my case, to continue to improve the office, and we focused on those rather than tearing down the other side. Now, there were distinctions. You know, my opponents did say things they would do differently than me, and I had objections and strong objections to that. But at the end of the day, we didn't make it personal. And so for your listeners who say, that's just politics, I would say it does not have to be that way.
All right.
Now it is a choice.
Let's take a look at this for a minute, because it was well-considered, we'll call it, that everybody played well. With one another, and you know, we all know that you have to differentiate yourself, so you say what you would do different, and that is part of the job. But on the other hand, the media almost totally ignored the content of it.
Yeah, you're right. That is one of the problems here. Now, the Treasurer's Office isn't as high profile as the governor's race or a Supreme Court nomination, but look at the number of articles, the amount of ink printed, the amount of electrons used out there to talk about the fight between the gubernatorial candidates.
And the cost of it
going on there.
And the cost of a haircut.
Yeah. And the Treasurer's Office, we talked about issues. We didn't attack each other, pay compliments. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find, Google would be hard pressed to find more than three articles written about that.
Right.
And I think part of the problem is a chicken and egg here. When candidates attack each other, the media reports on that. But candidates realize that when I attack my opponent, I'm going to get more coverage. The media encourages some of these people to engage in uncivil behavior because you don't get articles written about a civil, polite debate of ideas.
I'm looking in with the loosest search criteria, 2,500 articles, but I realize once I'm looking down into them that really there's about one article. Literally, when you said three, Okay, there's I'm finding another one from, and I found a couple of more, but most of them are really about other debates and pre-selling the fact that it was coming up. Because here's the thing.
I'll tell you, when I came into office, some people on my staff complained we're not getting enough press coverage. And I said, okay, well, what do we need to do? Do we need something differently? And one person in my office said, yeah, throw punches. I said, well, why? What purpose does that serve? It will get you in the paper.
Right.
But what does it do to actually push the state forward, calling someone else a name, picking a fight with someone? I said, well, it'll get you in the paper. And I think there are some candidates or some politicians who that's enough of a reason to do it.
Have you had people in, say, a campaign consulting business or something along that line whose job it is to run campaigns look at you and say, you need to be more aggressive, you need to eat this guy up? Have you had that happen to you?
Yes, frequently. And I've withheld from that because it's not how my mother raised me. It's not how I think government should be run. I was elected, I thought, to make the treasurer's office run better, to fight on behalf of the people, not to fight with other people, not to pick fights just for the sake of fighting.
See,
you know, I came on and talked to you. I fought with the life insurance industry. I didn't fight with the life insurance industry for fun or for headlines, but because I thought what they were doing was wrong.
I talk to people on a pretty regular basis that have dramatically different views that I have in the world, and I look at it in a very succinct way. I'm working for the listener, the person who's listening right now to this radio station. I want them to be able to listen. I want to be able to, them to be able to tolerate listening. I want them to be able to know that I'm working on their behalf, not from my personal standpoint. I mean, a woman called here not long ago and talked to the receptionist. She says, I swear to God, Tom could interview the devil. And I probably would be a little uncomfortable with the subject material, but yeah, I think I could do it. And here's the thing, when I'm watching things like the Supreme Court hearings, I'm watching the gubernatorial debate, I want to be proud of the person who I feel I'm affiliated with, and you know that we've come to this point of this so divisive point. I want them to be representing me, and I'm not proud of what I'm seeing, whether I'm a Democrat or a Republican in the state of Illinois.
And you could look at the candidates and maybe say that, or you could look at the questions being asked. You know, what is the purpose of asking a candidate for governor the price of a gallon of milk? It's a complete gotcha question. Knowing the price of a gallon of milk is not important to governing the state. Things that are important, you know, what are you going to do for our pension problems? How are you going to fund state government, the programs you're proposing? You know, those are lots of numbers. We'd rather ask a simple, easy question that we can say gotcha on. And so, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's chicken or egg. Our candidates acting this way because that's who they are as people, or are they acting this way because that's what the media incentivizes?
Right.
We'll cover you. We'll give you press if you call a name. Call someone else a name.
Right. Yeah, and I see it too. I really do. And I can see that I'm conditioned to a certain point to jump towards those items too. And I've been doing this for, I just realized this, and over the last year or couple of years, I've been literally doing this for 42 years, where it was my job when I was a kid to take everything and break it up into state national categories, right, for other news crews. But I had to read every single thing that I did, so I did that every day. And I remember when there was this new guy named Donald Trump who started buying buildings in New York. I mean, and I also remember when there was a level of civility. Even among the most bitter, Nixon, Kennedy, you know, but now it's, you know, and it's no hold barred every day. And we are so polarized now that I don't see it going another way. I mean, I wonder, from your standpoint, I'm sitting here thinking about Michael Frerichs, because you're not a firebrand, because you're not willing to pound the podium and call people names. Does that mean you'll never go higher in the state of Illinois than state of treasurer because you're not a fire eater?
I've had people tell me that, but two things. One, I have faith. I have faith in the public that eventually over time they will say, I want an adult. I want someone who just focuses on doing their jobs, not someone who's focused on getting headlines. And two, You know, when people say, oh, we have such distrust in government, government's fooled by people, if you want to change it, you have to change yourself. I can't control the media. All I can control is myself and how I handle myself. And our hope is that there's all this distrust of government, you know, state government's a mess. Our hope is they'll notice and say, well, hey, there's one office that came in and improved college savings programs, made them one of the best in the state, best in the country. They came in and set up programs to help people with disabilities, help people save for their retirement. Yeah. Someone who fought to get me money that belonged to me. You know what? Not every politician is corrupt. My hope is that that will happen. And if I'm wrong, Tom, if I'm wrong, if I do things the way I think they should be done and no one pays attention and no one rewards you for it, well, then I'll every day be able to get up and look myself in the mirror and be able to go about my day, and that will be good enough.